Ever feel like you've got to get your should together?
Is your should about to hit the fan?
Have you been sitting in your shoulds for most of your life wondering if you could be more, see more, or do more? Welcome to Shut the Should Up with Candace Payne
and Jenny Randall. We're both authors and speakers who want to stomp out your flaming bag of should.
With a whole lot of faith, together, let's sort through the pain, purpose, and promise to find freedom in the things we tell ourselves we should and should not do.
Because there's so much more in you. What's up, Shut the Shitters? Jenny Randall here with the fantastic Candace Payne.
Shut the Shitters. Shut the Shitters. Is that what we're calling them?
Yeah, they're Shut the Shitters. It felt right, you know. We're in our revival stories. We're in the revival stories. They're in revival with us. They know. And today we're talking about one important element that is so obvious, but it deserves a whole episode itself, is that revival cannot be man-made.
Boy, ain't that true. Ain't that true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you get the power of life and death in your hands to be able to bring things back to life? I mean, not saying it, but like, we probably got some miracle, like, people on here that's like, I've seen him bring the dead to life, Candace, but you're saying he did it, right? Not you. So
the Lord ministered through people to heal. Whatever. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yes. It's him. Revival. He's the life giver.
Be manufactured. Yeah. So I know I've been talking about Asbury revival a lot, but it's like the most recent experience I encountered with revival. And there was such a genuine, humble presence there. We've mentioned this briefly, but I think it's worth mentioning again, in that this wasn't something that was planned. I believe it went on for 10 days. The first week was 24-hour worship, and it was just this. It was just the college students up there playing their instruments, rotating in and out. There weren't lyrics on the screen. It's like you knew the song or you didn't. There was
back like, in the luck. Old days, right? Yeah, I love that.
It was just such this genuine experience, interdenominationally, people worshiping together. And
intergenerationally
also. Totally. And so much so, it began to make national news. Not only was it blowing up across the internet, I'm sure some of our listeners and friends have encountered some of the posts I was posting about it. People would be worshiping and then you just see like phones scanning the crowd in your face, that they started being like, okay, can we not live stream this? Like, just be in the moment. They had to like pastor us through it because we were getting so excited to get the word out. So they're like, stop live streaming, be in the moment with us. But this ended up making national news. Good Morning America reported on it, saying Asbury University it finally stopped the revival after 10 days. I could have butchered that, but I took notes and it says Morning in America. So my assumption is the first part of that is Good Morning. Let me click. This is live research here, my friends. I might've misspoken. So don't quote me on that. But
we are unsure of the GMA.
Oh no, it's literally called Morning in America. Okay. There's a show called Morning in America. They reported on it.
There you go.
Fox News had repeated episodes, segments, news segments throughout the revival on the Asbury revival. Tucker Carlson reported on it. It's really intriguing, and we can link to it in our show notes, but his first news coverage, he was just talking about what was going on, and he was he interviewed one of the students and he was just kind of, you know, gathering information. He seemed really intrigued by it. And then the second news story, he admitted, we called and asked if we could bring cameras into the revival. And he said, and they said no. And then he said, anytime, he says, that hardly ever happens in the news. Everybody wants their moment of fame. And he's like, anytime that happens, it's either somebody is doing something so wrong, they don't want to be found out, or so right. Right. So it's like two one of the clues. And so he ends this news segment saying, and I believe what's happening at Asbury is something so right And I quote, something so right, so beautiful, so true, that media coverage can't enhance it. It will just detract from it. God bless them for turning us down, he said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what we're talking about today. Revival is not something that's man-made. It's something that is so sacred, it has to be stewarded honorably. And I think we could lead this point of the conversation into, like, how often do we get distracted from wanting to share through media or like wanting to amplify something God is doing, but it almost ends up perverting the message in a way, because there's such sacredness to it that it just needs to be contained right here. And like, there will be a time and a place where you can share it, but just be in the moment right here, right now. And I think that's something to remember, an important thing to remember when we talk about revival.
I love the fact that, you know, when you're preserving the sacredness of a moment too, it almost is a nod to, I know what I have, and why would I let everybody in here? And I'm not talking about favoritism. I'm not talking about seclusion or exclusion. I'm just saying there are some moments that when they are so sacred and intimate, number one, you can't manufacture the kind of spirit or the intensity of that moment. It just comes upon you. Right. I'll say it this way. There have been times where with certain family members, they were on their deathbed and they've had conversations and they wanted to just say something to a select group of us. That was not a moment for everybody to come in and be eating Cheetos and passing around the like a football game day.
Right.
The snacks and hey, you've grown. Look at you. What are you doing over there, Billy? You know, I mean, it's like there are some moments that you go, can you just leave the room? We're going to shut the door and we're going to preserve this moment because we understand the weight of it. A.W. Tozer.
That's it. The weight.
Yes. Tozer. Yes.
Tell me Tozer. I love Tozer.
A.W. Tozer wrote an essay that anybody can find. You just Google this, but you know, after you listen to this episode, maybe keep a mental note, but Google The Weight of Glory by A.W. Tozer PDF.
Gosh.
And it's just a short read, but it is one of those reads that I've gone back to over and over and over and over at different points in my life to be reminded that there is a heaviness to the glory of God. And it doesn't just reside in rooms and revivals, but it resides on people. I mean, like, if we could see the world around us with the people around us with the weight of the glory of the Lord that they carry, just because they're created in his image, we would handle his presence so much differently. We would handle it with so much more care. And this is what we see of revival, is that it's almost as though, Jenny, you can correct me because I don't know. I'm really just spitballing this phrase as I'm speaking. But it's almost as though revival is less about the working and the doing, as more of it is as the awareness that it's already been happening.
Yeah.
It's almost like our eyes are lifted to see what's already in the fabric around us. And I feel like that's the weight of glory that's in every room that you're in.
Yeah. I took a seminary class last semester and it was a missions class. And one of the lessons we were learning was on the kingdom of God. And it was explained, we were all like confused because like the language is using and whatever, but like the premise was, if you are a follower of God, the kingdom of God is there. It's accessible. He reigns in your hearts, in your spirit, that God's kingdom is evident in your life.
Yeah.
And it's in this world. It is God's reign is in this world. He will reign when he comes back, and you know, and in the new creation and all that, that will be his greatest victorious moment, right? But as a Christ follower, his kingdom reigns. And how you said it, Candace, was perfect, because in that revival atmosphere for me at Asbury, it was like, okay, we can all exhale. We physically feel the presence of God, and he is reigning. He is reigning in my life. He is reigning in this circumstance. He is reigning. Like all we could do. I get emotional thinking about it. Like all our only response to his kingdom come was to worship him. And to reflect, like you said, to reflect on his gloriousness. And even me trying to quantify it in that sentence, or me trying to put human words to it, it diminishes the sacredness of the moment, because in my finite brain, I cannot share to you what an infinite God we have and the experience of the encounter that was there, because I'm only human. But it was his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and it was life changing.
You know what I think of, and this is going to seem so shallow on the heels of what you just shared, but y'all know me. Y'all know me by now. You know, I equate weird things. But what I just thought of was these artsy films that they're always up for a nomination for an Oscar. And you want to know what's common about all of these artsy films is that they draw out a moment that is otherwise mundane or missable, with dramatic music and a pause, maybe like this one-liner of a character discovering the real essence of the moment that they're in. They encapsulate it in this beautiful, you know, four-sentence structure paragraph, and they're like, you know, the music swells and the wind's blowing in their hair, and you do a little slow motion. And I'm telling you, you create this beautiful moment in a film for people to pause and go, oh, that's what they're trying to get at. That's the heart of the story. As much as we're talking about, you cannot manufacture revival. What you can do is you can swell the music in your soul. You can slow down and peer in. You can see the wind when it rushes from the Spirit of God. You can hold the moment so sacred, even in the most mundane. And I'm saying that from, like, have you ever looked at somebody in their eyes that's like a cashier at the grocery store? Or for me, the other day, I was walking out of a room, checking out of a hotel, and the lady that was going to clean the room was right there as we were leaving. And she said, are you done? Are you leaving? And I said, yes. And I took a moment to look at her and look in her eyes. And I said, hey, thank you for what you do. I appreciate that so much. It's like taking a breath to see the beauty in the simple. And this is what I'm discovering more and more revival really is. It's not being the producer behind the camera lens and telling the story and being the storyteller of it and trying to make sure that everybody sees it the way that I see it. It's actually a simple pause in your spirit. It's a gut check to lift your eyes and slow down and experience the Lord in your everyday. Experience his presence, his spirit in your every moment. Experience the weight of glory that lies in the room, in the car, in the hallway, in the other person that gets overlooked. I mean, it's seeing through what we really have as finite things to the infinite God.
Hearing you describe it that way, I wrote down revival is a decluttering of the soul, because how often do we get distracted by even in our church settings nowadays, the bright lights flashing around during worship, having the right lyric on screen, like just even the things that typically enhance a service that can be good to communicate the gospel or sometimes needed, they can distract us from the heart of what God wants to do. Or we have agendas, right? At a church service, we have to end at this time because at this time this happens. Like, and those things are good and often needed. But to come, like you said, we can come with this desperation. We can come seeking and like seeking God himself, and he doesn't always and I've been desperate with questions for God for years, and I haven't gotten answers all the time. So I want to put that out there. Like, desperation isn't the thing that's going to get God to respond. We can come desperate at any point, and God will always meet our needs. But in this desperation, for some reason, he chose to respond the way he did. It's specific, I'm talking about Asbury, with an outpouring of his spirit that was so tangible. And there was no, quote unquote, clutter to the move of God with lights, with cameras, with lyrics, with the next big thing, the greatest speakers. It was literally just a decluttering of our souls to encounter him and just be left in awe. Like,
you know what I saw? I saw speaker after speaker after speaker, author after author after author, people that are in this space as that hold some Christian platform. I mean, there's no other word that I could. I'm trying to make it not sound messy, but
they're
notable. Yeah. What I saw is for the first time on their Instagram pages, less about them being invited and doing their speaker reel and what they spoke and sound bites from their mouth, and more about them reporting what they saw.
Yeah. Testifying is goodness. Yeah. And, but girl, I'm going to be human for a minute. I went in there and we knew the leaders of the event, and I want to be like, put me on the prayer team. Like, get me in, like, let me be a part of this because I love God and I love ministry. And like, this is the natural leader in me, like I want to help. And I feel like that's how a lot of leaders were responding. Like, put me in, let's go, we're ready for this. And the beauty of God being God was like, shut it all down. Like, this is not man-made. Nothing man-made. And he did not.
Hey, this is what this episode is about. This is not what you speak. This is what you see. Yeah. That's the difference, Jenny. It's not what you speak. It's not what you do. It's what you encounter.
Yeah.
That's what revival really is. When you're talking about, we can't manufacture it.
Yeah.
Come on. Our top players are like, put me on the roster. I've been waiting for this moment. What you've done in private, let's bring public, you know? And God's like, I need you to just behold. I need you to behold. And this is where I feel like maybe the whole purpose of this episode, if there's one thing it comes down to, is, are you beholding God? Do you ever just stand back and go, whoa? Or do you get one? Man, my choir teacher said it the best. She said, a person with a little bit of knowledge is the most dangerous thing in the entire world. And it's because you think you know everything. And there is a time that if it's genuine revival, Jenny, we need to behold right now. Behold and report. Not come see and watch, you know, and let me show you. It's behold and testify. And this is what this beholding is.
The sacred. Yeah.
You know what? Okay, this is non thought through, Candace, but just reactionary. The older I get, the more I'm aware that I don't have control. And I spend a lot of my time and my schedule and my dreaming and my planning and my hoping, trying to hold on things that are just out of my control.
Yeah.
And I really feel like the goodness of God, we have such a problem with it only when it's not in our control or in our timeline. You know, that's the only time that we really question it. It's the only time that we fight against it. It's the only time that we say, is he really? It's when we can't control it. And I just got to encourage this episode to land on something here. You're not in control. That's the bottom line. You cannot control a move of God. You cannot conjure it. I mean, like, here's the deal. We are finite. He is infinite. He will use us for his glory. Don't get me wrong, but we will definitely not be the instigators of telling him where to go, where to sit, where to stand, where to speak, how to move, how to provide. We implore. I mean, when did we lose goodness, you're getting me hot and bothered by this conversation here. But when did we start thinking it was okay to command and demand of our Lord?
That's a genie in a bottle theology. It's literally soul sucking. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this may go against people listening right now, but the one problem I have in this Christian culture right now is when we say, I decree and declare. Unless the Lord said it first, don't dare you decree and declare.
Yeah, if it's a promise. You
repeat and
report. Yeah. Okay.
You repeat and report. This is what God said, and this is what he's going to do. Yeah. It's not, I do this. And this is where I feel like we've lost the beauty in beholding our God be God and be in control. Because when we feel like he's not doing what we want, my goodness, we die a little. And now he's like, watch me. I will bring back to life the things that are dead in your life because I'm good and I will move. And you can't predict it. You can't control it. You can't manipulate it. But here I am. So behold.
One of the things I left the experience at Asbury thinking as a, you know, Bible teacher, author, communicator, it was such a humbling thing. I left thinking, I will never, Lord help me, I will never pervert your platform.
Wow.
And oh God, it has been so jacked up. And not only in the Christian culture of leadership, whatever we want to call it, but right. in people's personal lives too, like Christianity has that's why we did a whole series on theology, because there's some bad theology out there, right? Like declaring, I mean, that's a whole episode itself, because some of it declaring the promises of God is good, right? But like Candace said, like, it's not in your strength. These things are happening. But back to my main idea, I pray for everyone listening that there is no perversion of the move of God where we take away what he's doing and we make it about ourselves. Because in that moment, it's just this self-help Christianity that's already wrecked the church as a whole. And I don't want any part of it. And I think in our individual lives, we can all, I'm demanding us all to commit to that, because we have such a beautiful, if we are Christ followers, we have this beautiful gift to steward his sacredness when he affords us that right. Mm-hmm. And if we have these encounters with God, these moments where the theology of our head meets our hearts and we experience God in the tangible, we cannot make this about ourselves. And it is all and will always only be about Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and what he is doing, the work he is doing on earth, so others can get to know him and continue to be connected to God himself. And as we are in that position and that posture, our only response is to worship. Our only response is to stand back in awe and say, God, you did it again. God, I see what you did. God, I see you move. God, you are faithful. You will finish what you started. And it's just, that's going to be us for eternity, and what a gift and what an opportunity. But to catch a glimpse of that on earth, to experience that heaven like atmosphere, we can all encounter that.
Can we just take a second as we kind of wrap up and give our listeners a gift today?
Are you going to sing us a holy song? The gift of worship.
I would never say, let me give you a gift.
I'm gonna give after singing. I'm like, don't make the platform about yourself. You're like, I feel a song from the spirit coming up along.
So here's my song. No, that's not it. Here's the gift. It's the next few moments, the next few minutes, to remember the goodness of God and the glory of God and to behold him. So here's what I'm going to do. And this is not copyright music, because I'm honestly just going to go play at my piano, because you said the only appropriate response is worship.
Yeah.
So we're going to give like just a few minutes and we're going to talk. And here's the good thing. I've got my headphones on, so they double as my microphone. So I can go all the way over here while we're videoing, filming, and Jenny sees me, but y'all don't.
I see you. My timer's also going off to get my daughter from school. So let's add that to the mix. Now we're in an adventure to not shut down and steward this moment. Zoe, you can walk home from school, baby girl. We were stewarding the sacred ground. Sounds good, Candace.
Hey, if you want a couple seconds, honestly, I want you just to think about what God has done and who he is. And then maybe take just a moment to just behold his goodness. We're going to just give you a couple seconds to think on those things. Hey God, you are so incredibly good to us, and who you are cannot be just put in a box or contained or manipulated or contrived. And so God, we just ask that today you would give us eyes to see you, to behold you, to encounter you in the smallest of things, and that you would give us the wisdom to know the difference, and that we wouldn't settle with anything that we think that we can control. And let this be a jumping place, a moment that we just take, that we would continue through the rest of our day. No matter when we're hearing this, that we would find the goodness of God in everything that we see, that we would behold you. In Jesus' name we ask for this, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Wherever people are listening today, may they find the goodness of God, the glory of God, and the revival of God. Because when he moves, you can't trap it, you can't contain it, you can't predict it, you can't manipulate it. You just got to feel the weight of it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friends, I feel like we could sit in this moment forever. So we want to urge you to do that. And until next week, kick your shoulds out the door.
If you've been inspired to stop shitting yourself, head over to iTunes and write a review and just give us all the stars.
If there's one thing you're going to should yourself with, you should subscribe to our show so you don't miss an episode.
See you next time.